So to the Hebrews, on the words, let us. Hebrews chapter 10. Let us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldest confidence to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near. And that is the thought that we would like to consider tonight. Let us draw near. Please note that it's entirely voluntary. We are to draw near. John chapter 13. My habit still continues. We turn to many scriptures. John chapter 13. Verse 25. You might start at verse 24. John 13, 24. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Let us draw near. Nowhere in the Word of God is it suggested or intimated that the Lord said to John, come and lean on my breast. It was purely voluntary. And that is our study tonight. Let us draw near. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Let us draw near. It is purely a voluntary thing. We have to decide that we are going to draw near. God isn't going to push us into him or near to him. We must voluntarily draw near. And now we want to consider together some of the benefits that we derive when we draw near. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 32. Draw near. Let us draw near. Some of the benefits derived from being near to the Lord. Genesis chapter 32. Verse 24. Jacob was left alone. Beloved, there is no thrill like being alone with God. Alone in the divine presence. And things happen when we are alone in his presence. Verse 27. He said unto him, what is thy name? He said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men. And one of the benefits of drawing near to God is that he changes our character. Can you imagine Jacob, a trickster, a serplanter, always trying to outdo the next fellow? And God says, you're a prince. He drew near to God. He was in the divine presence. Hebrews, please. Chapter 11. When we draw near to God, he changes us. He develops us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. He's at the end of his life now. He's been in the divine presence. His name has been changed. His character has been changed. His behavior has been changed. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. What a picture. A man, as we have said, who was a supplanter, a trickster, always trying to outdo the next fellow, and here at the end, he's dying and holding his staff. His name has been changed to Israel, a prince, a noble man. And as we enter the Lord's presence from time to time, he brings about a change in us. The story is told of a certain man, very mean fellow. The neighborhood knew he was a terrible fellow. And then one day, they noticed a change in him. And they said to his wife, what happened to him? Did he change religion? She said, no, God saved him. And when God works on us, he brings about a change. We become, as we read in 2 Corinthians, new creatures in Christ Jesus. Remember John Newton? That sea captain of the slaves? And God saved him. And what did he write? Amazing grace. And when we are in the presence of God, he works on us and he improves us. Many of us here read the Scofield Bible. I might say I was brought up on the Scofield Bible. When you get a chance, read his life. Read what he was and what God did for him and this Bible that he has edited. In the presence of God, let us just make frequent visits to God in his presence, and we'll find we'll change. And we will notice the change, and others will notice the change. Exodus chapter 33, please. Let us draw near. Exodus chapter 33. Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. O child of God, when is the last time you were face to face in the Lord's presence? And it's a wonderful place to be. It's a thrilling place to be, face to face in the Lord's presence. Chapter 34, please. Verse 28. Face to face in the Lord's presence, he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. My, my, my. I wonder what he ate. The Bible doesn't tell us that he ate anything. And I'll tell you this, when you get in the Lord's presence, you don't feel the need of food. It's such a joy to be in His presence. He was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. He wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. It came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses knew not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh to him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And when we are in the presence of the Lord, we will reflect His glory. And you can always tell a Christian that's been in the presence of the Lord. Story is told of a little girl. Now, in their home, you know, some people have pictures of Jesus, and there were no pictures. She was only taught about Jesus. A girl about 5 or 6 years old. And ran, one day she ran into the house and said, Mother, Jesus is down the street. Mother went out there, and there was this believer, gleaming and beaming. You could tell he was a believer. And when we spend time in the presence of the Lord, we will reflect His beauty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let us draw near. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same from glory to glory. In His presence, let us draw near, and as we behold His glory, we are changed from day to day. Just as the moon reflects the light of the sun, and we stay in the presence of the Lord, we reflect His glory. Another benefit of being in the presence of the Lord. Job chapter 1. Verse 1. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Verse 8. The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth. That's a commendation. None like him in all the earth. A perfect and upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil. Chapter 38. Verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, He's now in the presence of the Lord. Chapter 42. Verse 1. And beloved, when we get in the presence of the Lord, we begin to realize that this beauty that we think we have and this uprightness and this self-righteousness, it all disappears. We see what we really are. Chapter 42, verse 1, Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withheld from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Verse 6. In the presence of the Lord, wherefore I abhor myself. No room for pride when we're in the presence of the Lord. And you know, we all have a tendency to say, well, I'm a little bit better than that next fellow. I know a little more than this person, and that sort of thing. When we get in the presence of the Lord, all of that disappears. I have Paul. And mark you, what we read in the first chapter, God said he was a perfect man. And yet when he got in the presence of God's presence, he abhorred himself. He saw no beauty in himself. You know, that's the trouble with Hollywood. All those folks out there think they're pretty. There's no beauty to them. We abhor ourselves when we're in the presence of the Lord. Isaiah 6, we looked at this last Sunday. And may I suggest to you, as part of this study, that everything that our brother told us last Sunday in the ministry of this word, take everything and put it in your notes right here. It all fits in here. Saves me the time of going over it. But Isaiah chapter 6, we know that well. Verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Oh, child of God, when's the last time you saw the Lord? And you know, back then, they couldn't see the Lord often. But we can approach Him any time. It says, let us draw near. We have the privilege at any hour of day or night of drawing near into the presence of the Lord. Verse 5. He's in the presence of the Lord. What did Job say? I abhor myself. What did Isaiah say? Woe is me. I'm undone. A man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King. And when we behold the Lord as we draw near, we realize that there's nothing to us. And that boastful spirit. You know, I know some men, and they think they're the last word. And they can be very annoying. They're smart. They're brilliant. But I think of two of them now. You've never seen that. Seen some pride. They're so self-satisfied. But when we get in the presence of the Lord, there's nothing about us to satisfy ourselves. All the beauty, all the majesty, and all the glory are in Him. Let us draw near. But then we read on, verse 8, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Another effect of being in the presence of the Lord, He fits us for service. From time to time you run into men and they will preach, deliver these long sermons with these long words, and I have many times said, any word with more than 5 syllables gets suspicious. Well, the Lord didn't use any long words. Read the Bible in any language. He didn't use long words. And yet the common people heard Him gladly. Heard Him gladly. He prepares us for service. And if we want to be well prepared, we've got to spend time in His presence. And then a wonderful thing happens. The Holy Spirit teaches us and shows us and opens our eyes. I won't do it, but I could tell you many, many things I couldn't learn by myself. But oh, you spend time in the presence of the Lord, and it's amazing what the Holy Spirit will show you. I mentioned it this Sunday that I spoke particular problem was before me when I heard a series of meetings. I was age 14. You know when I got the answer? When I was age 32. It may take time. We're not as smart as we think we are. And it may take time for God to get these things into our head. But if we want to serve Him and serve Him well, we've got to spend time in His presence. And young brothers and sisters, spend time in the presence of the Lord. As I mentioned before, don't you read the Word of God hit and miss. And don't you follow that woman's speed reading. Don't speed read the Bible. This is God's Word. And if He wrote it, we do well to respect it and read slowly and carefully every word. Every word in the Bible has significance. And I think it was Darby who said, even the punctuation, if it's correct, has significance. That's how important this word is. That's not true of Shakespeare, is it? No, it's not true of Shakespeare. You can understand Shakespeare. But to know this word, we've got to be in His presence. We've got to learn from Him. Another benefit from dwelling in the presence of the Lord, 1 Kings chapter 19. And you will note that all of these examples that we're looking at are familiar examples. I haven't pointed out anything new. I haven't pointed out anything that we haven't read before. 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's start at verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, all about how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Wouldn't you do that? The queen decides that she's going to get rid of you. What would you do? Would you run toward her or away from her? He ran away. That's the natural thing to do. Verse 4. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. We won't read the whole thing. But he was alone with God. He's requesting to die, and God sends him food. We've got to be careful how we pray. We are to pray in the will of the Lord. Our Lord prayed, not my will, thy will be done. Now, of course, there are certain things that we want. We'd like very much to have. We ask the Lord for them. He told us to ask for them. But we ask in His will, according to His will. We read of that in the book of James. We shouldn't say, tomorrow I'm going to do so and so and so and so. Tomorrow, in the will of the Lord. And we should pray in the will of the Lord. But we read on. Read verse 15 with me. Remember, he prayed to die. He said, he requested for himself that he might die. The Lord said, go return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you come, anoint Hazael to be king, and Jehu the son of Nimshi anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint. God had work for him to do. And when we get in the presence of the Lord, He'll give us our assignment. He'll tell us what He wants us to do. And you young ones in school, you get in the presence of the Lord, He'll tell you what subjects to take too. He'll tell you what He wants you to be. But you have to spend time in His presence. And He will tell you exactly what He would have you study. And you have to be very careful about what you study. Because there are so many false teachings in the world. I have a relative in New York, and she was preparing to study medicine. And the last time I was up there, I said, how is the budding doctor? Oh, I'm not interested in medicine anymore. What are you interested in? Psychology. I said, Lord have mercy. That is one of the most demonical and diabolical subjects that you can study. Now, I know you're not going to agree with me. It's so nice you know what the next person is thinking. That's nonsense. Only God knows what the next person is thinking. So be very careful of what they teach you in school and the subjects that you select. Let God decide what your course is to be. As even here, God had work for this man. A man praying to die, God said, stop it. I've got work for you. You've got people to anoint, things to do. And he lived another 10 years. Now you know the rest of the story. He never died. One of two people who went straight to heaven. And he was praying to die. And so often we pray for the wrong thing, we want the wrong thing. Let us pray in the will of the Lord and in His presence. Let Him decide what He will have us to be and where He will have us to go. 8 o'clock. Well, I'm going to owe you some time because we're going on to one more. I won't be very long. Book of Jonah, please. We often refer to Jonah as the disobedient prophet. Yes, he was. Book of Jonah. We know the story well. Book of Jonah, chapter 4. Verse 1. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. But why was he angry? You get it in the verse 10 of the preceding chapter. God saw their works, that they turned from evil, their evil way. God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do to them, and he did it not, but it displeased Jonah. There's Jonah alone with the Lord, and he's angry with God because God spared the lives of sinners. How do we feel about this? How do we feel about those fellows out there throwing bombs around and wanting to kill us all? We don't like, of course. Nobody likes it. But what is our prayer for them? Let's read on. Chapter 4, verse 6, the Lord prepared a gourd and made it to come over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. All right? But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day. It smote the gourd that it withered. It came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Oh my. God, notice the reading here very carefully. Conversation between God and Jonah. God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And notice the rudeness of Jonah's answer. I do well to be angry, even unto death. Oh, my. That's terrible. We must be careful how we speak to the Lord. He's not just some man walking along the street. We have to approach Him reverently. He's God. Then said the Lord, verse 10, you had pity on the gourd for which you did not labor, neither did you make it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Now notice, should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons? Look at them. All these people, they don't know their right hand from their left. Oh my. You talk about ignorance. You know what the thinking is among many today? The child is born deformed, get rid of it. And when they get old, get rid of them. They're in the way. Now you look it up. I'm not going to tell you when it happened. But the governor of Colorado was heard to utter these same words. Get rid of old people. They're in the way. And here are all these people that can't tell their right hand from the left. Jonah was willing to have them perish. But the Lord would have all men to be saved. And when we get into the Lord's presence, we learn His attributes, how He feels about things. And that is particularly true in the present war scene. Oh, we'd like to do something with those fellows out there threatening us and destroying our peace and upsetting our calm and our composure. I'd like to do something to them. God would have all men be saved. And when we get into the presence of the Lord, we learn His attributes, how He feels about things. We learn about the love of God, the righteousness of God. Most people will talk about the goodness of God and the righteousness of God, but they don't want to say anything about the wrath of God, and that's where they're in trouble. We will learn about God, about the patience of God and the long-suffering of God, but His long-suffering has an end. And it's as we are in His presence that we learn His characteristics, and we ourselves, as we are exposed to these, take on those same characteristics. I've gone 4 minutes over time. Shall we sing, please, that hymn? It's 433, I believe. Near to the Heart of God. Just the first and the last verses. Let us draw near. And beloved, I repeat, it is a voluntary thing.